Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
The Comedy Vault, have we done this spot?
Yeah, in Batavia.
Yeah, dude, this place is cool.
Every good podcast starts with a Batavia story.
Batavia,
they should. Batavia is just outside. Guys, welcome back to the show. Paul Elia?
Aaliyah.
Fuck, I knew that's what it was. And I was going to ask you off air, but I go, let's figure it out on air.
Yeah, let's just do that, man.
Aaliyah. I knew it was that.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Well, you know, I used to pronounce it wrong myself. I used to say Aaliyah.
Why?
That's the way everyone would say to me, like growing up. Like,
and you didn't want to correct them? Or no, you didn't know yourself?
I didn't know myself, honestly. And then one day, this was like maybe like 6 years ago, bro. I was talking to my dad and I did stand up on this show and it aired and they introduced me as Paul Elia.
Yeah.
And then some guy told my dad, and he goes, yeah, they introduced your son and they said Paul Elia. And then my dad was like, you know, your grandfather pronounced it Elia. And then I was like, fuck, bro. Like,
yeah, gotta pay homage.
Yeah, man.
Is it almost disrespectful if you don't, if you just kept doing it Elia?
It really depends on, like, I don't think anything matters anymore.
I know. I mean, that is what I was looking for.
Like, homage, who people are just like, who cares? Yeah, basically.
I did have a comedian, I won't say his name, but he told me that I said his name a little differently. I didn't hit the G in his name.
Right.
And I'd be curious to see if you could figure it out. But he told me, he wasn't pissed, but he corrected me and I was like, look, I've known you for probably coming up on 10 years. The boat has sailed.
Wow.
On correcting, like, that's what I'm thinking.
Brad Williams, really? Said that to you?
Hilarious, yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, it was, but I go, I feel like at this point you would have, because I know I've said his name on stage before, but it was weird. It was a weird thing to be, I definitely felt like I was being scolded. Because
yeah.
He had a look of like disdain of like, that's not who I am. The guy you're saying, that's another guy.
Yeah.
This is me. I'll tell you. You know how you stay in my good graces? You say my name right.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares?
Because I've said some people's names wrong and then been like,
I know.
And then it's like this huge performance of correction.
Yeah.
And it's like you could do a throwaway and just be like, actually, it's.
Yeah.
And then it's cool.
Or just leave it alone. I don't know. People spell Adam Ray sometimes R-A-E. And unless it's for like, you
R-A-E.
Know, paperwork purposes. Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking.
Do you like the name Paul?
It's cool, man. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it, buddy.
What would you ever, like if you were a, I don't know, maybe not a stripper, a superhero, like do you ever like, fit, like, you know, do you ever think about like who else, like if you're Xbox Live, what would be like your screen, like what other names have you gone with to be like alter egos? How about this? You're staying at a hotel.
All right.
And you got to have an alias.
Need to have an alias.
Who are you?
Man.
Who are you checking in under?
Well, the thing is, I'd probably just choose another name in the Paul family and just be like Tommy.
Gotcha.
So, which is not, like, if I have the freedom to change anything, I might as well just be like, you know, Abdul Said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're rich.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they got money.
But that guy also is probably, yeah, maybe people are leaving that guy alone at the hotel.
Yeah, they're leaving him alone, yes.
No one's checking in on Abdul, right?
Well, the thing is, Abdul, like, I will be like, I need towels at once.
Yeah, yeah. You can sound rich. Is there a difference? The accent, there's you can do that. What you just did, I go,
yeah.
Now that guy sounds like he's got money and like you want to make sure he's happy.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
get a little, where's the balance between like rich Middle Easterner and terrorist?
Right. Well, I would say like, you know, rich is like, hi, how are you? Like terrorist is like, hello. Like it's a lot louder, shouting. He hits his wife.
Yeah.
But loves his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those people, I think, have good.
And the rich guy does the opposite.
Yeah.
Hits his kids, loves his wife.
Wow.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. So you were in Chicago, Batavia.
Yeah, Batavia, Illinois.
Love the Comedy Vault. Shout out to Liz and the crew. Great club. Great city.
Great city.
It's like north of Chicago, about 45 minutes. A lot of money out there.
Yeah.
Cool little downtown. Makes you feel like you're in a Hallmark movie. So you were there in a good time of year too, right?
Yeah, man, it was hot. I was staying right by this. They had this dam. Mm. So I was just like there smoking weed and like looking at the water.
Wow.
Yeah, but I was doing that for a while.
I didn't know you burned. I should have assumed that because if you're hanging with our boy, Matty Reif.
Yeah, bro.
Why would you not be?
Yeah, man, I'd be smoking.
wow, you are ready to be a dad.
I'm ready, man.
Dad, did you ever smoke weed? Yeah, I'd be smoking.
yeah.
Yes! That's one of those things, too, that I feel like I will not stop doing. We were talking about, like, you said I'll be doing Dr. Phil into my 70s and 80s, and I said, God willing.
Yeah.
But also, I told myself at 28 I was going to stop smoking weed. I'm not 41, and that's not happening. Yeah. But also, you need a vice.
Well, why did you tell yourself to stop?
I don't know. I thought it was, I don't know. I just thought I was, like, trying to put some sort of, like, you know, set of just a timeline on it because I was like, oh, like it's just going to get in the way. But really what happened is I found a balance. I think maybe I was smoking too much. Never like a full time day guy, but just too much at night to where I was like, it never was getting in the way or being late for stuff, but I was just like a couple steps behind. So right. I was like, all right, a couple more years and I'm done.
Yeah.
And then and now it's just like finding that balance, you know?
Yeah,
and really, it's like ending the night, or like you said, if it is in the daytime, being outdoors, doing something to where you can like maximize the high.
Yeah, man. Like I'll do yoga high.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Bro, it is fantastic. I cried.
How great is that?
Bro, I cried doing yoga.
Why'd you cry?
I can't remember, but I think they were playing like The Lion King.
Oh my God. That'll do it.
Bro, say less. The soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I'm laying down.
The opening.
I
probably were envisioning Mufasa getting thrown off the cliff.
Oh, fuck. He did get thrown off a cliff.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
By his brother. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, man. And then as kids, they're like, do you enjoy it?
Yeah. I know, dude. Death 12 minutes in. Based on a true story. Did you know that?
I had no idea. Was it a real people, real lions?
That was a joke. But I love your commitment to the idea that that could be true.
Okay. Thank you.
But also a great question.
Yeah.
If it was people, so you're saying like a real brother threw a dad off the cliff. Wouldn't that be crazy if that is the story of that?
That's a Netflix. Netflix is like, I want to make that.
What if all these Disney movies were like based on, well, I guess there's only a handful that could be because there's no real like mermaid gave up her voice and got legs and fucked a rich guy
and
in
they
the
don't,
Hamptons.
They're not real, right? Either?
Mermaids?
Yeah. There's no like.
Great question. I think mermaids are more real than Bigfoot.
I agree with that.
But I haven't seen either. And I think there's probably more support. There's a show, Finding Bigfoot. There's people I've met. Jeff Dye. You know, he has actively said, hey, I'm not the brightest guy. So that contributes to me being like, well, that's why you believe in Bigfoot. But he also is a savvy dude and I feel like has wits about him and knows enough. And actually, he's done his research. I saw him on Rogan talking about it. It still doesn't make me believe because I'm like, I don't know, dude. At some point, there'd be a good shot of him.
Yeah, bro.
Are they that elusive?
He doesn't have IG, nothing. He's not like
Bigfoot?
Yeah, bro. He's not trying to fuck.
Yeah, no.
He's not trying to like go out. Like he's just living outside.
They're
bro.
Just living outside, surviving off what? Like goats and pebbles and I don't know.
Yeah, bro.
So mermaids feel like to me a little bit more plausible.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, follow up.
Sure.
If you ran into Bigfoot and a mermaid and you had the chance to bang the mermaid, but you had to do it underwater.
Okay.
But you could cure cancer. Or Bigfoot said, I'll kill your family unless you suck my dick. What? And I just thought of this question.
Okay.
Which would you choose?
I've been asked this question before.
You have?
And what I would do?
Yeah.
Well, I love my family.
Yeah.
And I don't. Like, I have a fiance. She would probably find out if I'm fucking another bitch.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't fuck mermaids. And also, I think cure to cancer. I think there already is a cure to cancer.
Me too. They're holding on to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they're holding on to a lot of things, bro.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Also, do you remember like when they were talking about aliens? They're like, aliens are here. And then I can't remember what guy, like some, I think Mitch McConnell or something. Mm-hmm. He was like doing some like meme where he was reacting to theirs being aliens. And then people are just like, isn't it so hilarious at how he reacted? And I'm just like, there's an alien body. Like, why are we memeing his reaction to that?
Yeah. He could be one.
Bro.
So do you think there's people out there living in alien suits?
Alien suits?
Well, I mean, just like
Like suit and tie suit?
Oh, no. Aliens living in people suits.
Oh, shit! Yeah.
So do you think, like, Tom Cruise could be just, like, their best alien? Like, he's their Michael Jordan of aliens.
Oh, shit!
And they were like, look, don't be too crazy hot, but be, like, very fuckable for, like, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Keep it together, always, never not in shape. You know, go a little crazy so that people, like, is it, maybe that's the alien, like, jumping on couches and, like, you know.
Fuck.
I don't know.
I don't think they have wardrobe that sophisticated.
Yeah.
Yeah, also,
But maybe they made a deal with Cruise, is what I'm saying. Like, the Scientology stuff, I could see them being tapped into that alien community and being like, look, Cruise, like, you know, immunity from anything, but you just got to let one of these aliens get up inside you.
Shit.
And be you for a year. I don't know. I haven't thought this through. But I think that you're not wrong that there are things that we don't know, and there's probably a long list of it.
Yeah, bro. And like, you know, by the way, I would suck Bigfoot's
dick.
Yeah. To save my family?
Yes.
I would do that.
Without question.
Yeah, I would just ask that he doesn't tell nobody. Well, I would actually add some clauses.
You wouldn't have any problems with that. He can't talk. He's in the woods.
Well, then how did he pitch this idea?
He wrote it. He can write. He got a piece of paper and he wrote it down.
He can still write.
He can't talk, or he can't read and talk, but he knows how. He knows what how to convey what he wants.
So he's basically Helen Keller.
And yes, and he got to your, just less hairy, and he got to your house somehow and found your family, and he got them, and they're up in a tree, locked up in a net, one of those, like, you know.
Oh, shit.
You know those, like, things where they step on it and then it just grabs them and pulls them up like a bag of blueberries?
They just put some cheese.
Yeah.
My dad loves cheese, bro.
Hilarious.
So he would get.
I was wondering why cheese would be the snack.
Yeah, yeah. Cheese would be there. Yeah.
Your dad loves cheese?
Love, bro. My dad loves food in general, bro.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Well, I mean, man, a lot of people in L.A. Like,
don't like food?
I don't think. Bro, yeah. I mean, people
are just
not
eating. It's not a fun place to get dinner with people that are from here or people that are, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. What's
dude, I went on a dinner and then they invited me and then the menu came by and they're like, I'm on Ozempic. And so, I was just like, okay, so you're not going to eat. And then I was just like,
you can't eat on it or what?
Yeah. Have you done Ozempic or heard about it?
No.
Do you know what it is?
I fluctuate, and there's definitely been times where I'm like, man, I wish I could just like pump something in me and just whatever. But too feels too, I don't know. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely.
I'd be down if it really.
It does work.
It does.
Yeah,
you've done it.
I was doing it because I was taking peptides.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was taking peptides, and my brother started this peptide company. He's also
I started to take. I did one actually, or two things of the shots of the peptides because it's so many great benefits, you know. And I started getting gnarly headaches, and I probably could have like dosed down or whatever. But it was just so crazy. I was like, I don't even want to try to figure out this.
Yeah.
But so Ozempic, it was balancing out what? And what was it doing for you?
I mean, I just wasn't eating, bro. Like, I was
just
not
took away
hungry.
The appetite.
I was repulsed by food.
Wow.
Repulsed. Like, food would come in front of me, and then I'd start to feel queasy.
So then but you had to eat something. So you'd take the bare min just to keep your body alive,
dude,
or what?
I would, like, even for, we had my engagement party in February, right? And then I ordered a bunch of food, and then I was on Ozempic at the time, and it was like my peak Ozempic. I was in peak Ozempic.
Peak Oz,
bro.
Wow.
Food spread. I had two bites, and I was like, I'm done.
Wow.
And then I started to see myself lose weight, but I started to get, like, anxious. I started to get, like, a little, like, depressed.
Oh, so the side effects were.
Yeah, because I had nowhere to, like, place my comfort, because like food is comfort to me. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I like to eat, obviously. Yeah. So since that was taken away, I was just like, I didn't have something to comfort me.
Whoa.
Because I don't do drugs really. I mean, I do smoke, but like, you know, I don't really
consider weed a drug. I guess you could, there's probably lung cancer attachments to pot at some point, but you got to be a real fucking chimney to have issues.
Yeah, I agree.
But wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know. I love food too. So your dad, Big Cheese, is that like his main? So if Bigfoot was like, come here, what's your dad's name?
Emmanuel.
So if he was like, Emmanuel, but you gotta eat it off my dick, your dad would be like, no problem.
No, my dad, he doesn't, well, he in his words, he says, I don't play that gay shit.
Gotcha.
That's what my dad would say.
He said that.
Yeah. My dad says everything else.
When you ask him for a hug or what?
Advice.
Oh my God. Yeah, advice. Yeah. Not even physical touch.
Yeah, yeah. My dad is like really like masculine and
wow.
like he would
big guy?
No, not really. He's probably like I think we're the I'm 5'8".
Yeah.
You're like 5'10" probably.
No, 6'1.5".
You're 6'1.5"?
Yeah, baby.
Shit.
Yeah.
With shoes?
Yeah, I'm wearing flip flops right now, ladies. But yeah, 6'1.5".
Shit, bro.
I always wanted to be, and you answer after this, always wanted to be like 6'6", I thought would be awesome because I wanted to play basketball outside of high school, even if it was like D2, whatever. And 6'6 felt like a cool height. That felt like you have a chance. But at that, at 6'1.5", like you got to be a fucking, you got to be Steph Curry.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You'd be like a quarterback. If you're 6'6 and you like, you're handsome, wow. you would kill the game, bro.
Wow. Yeah, there's a new guy. I think he's on the Raiders. You've probably seen a picture. Are you a big football guy?
Not really.
What's your sport?
I mean, I like to watch football, but I'm not like tapped in. I'm not like, you it's just too guys. Much, bro. And it's yeah, like, I got to know everybody. Then I got to watch all the Netflix shows.
Yeah, I know.
And then see my wife and talk to her.
Bro, it's as you get older, you start diluting down like the things. As a kid, I knew, you know, players and stats and whatever. And then like now I'm just like the Seattle Supersonics left Seattle in 2007 and went to Oklahoma City. And, you know, talks of us getting a team back, whatever. Basketball is my favorite sport. I watch the playoffs here and there because it's the most exciting part of the season. And the basketball is just way better. But, man, during the season, couldn't give two fucks.
Yeah.
Because I have no team, no horse in the race. But also, and the game has changed too. But it's also like, yeah, you're trying to like, you can't really have a career and a relationship or whatever if you're like, you know, fantasy, you know, is driving your life.
Oh, my God, bro. Yeah, fantasy. And then I'm just like, I'm trying to keep up with Diddy news. Yeah. And then
with Diddy news?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Every day I'm looking to see
really
what's going on, yeah.
Oh, give me some updates.
Right now, bro, it's just like, Diddy was seen riding a bike. And then there's like the worst photo of him riding a bike.
Yeah.
And then it's
I saw it. No seat, right? They said like, the meme said there's no seat on the bike.
Yeah, no seat.
Yeah. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like the wind is blowing and it's like he looks as overweight as possible.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, bro. And then it's like, then there's another angle of him on the bike. And then it's like Diddy now is talking to his son. And then there's like this satellite camera that shows pixelated versions of him and his son. Then it's like, and then the headlines are like, Diddy conspires with son. And then I'm like, bro, this is bullshit. It's like every article is just trying to milk as much story as they can from him just talking to his son.
Yeah.
And he's probably just like, hey, so what's going on?
What a bummer. When you're that famous, dude, but you also got to know if you're that famous, you go on a bike and your shirt's flopping in the wind in an unfavorable fashion, like everyone's going to go after you. Also, when you have a child sex trafficking allegation on you, like, yeah, dude, you got to be very aware of your appearance.
You got to keep it tight, man. Yeah, there needs to be like a he needs to hire a consultant.
So, do you think that there is truth, there's smoke where there's fire where there's the smoke on this with Diddy?
As far as
like what he's being accused of,
is there fire with the smoke?
What did I say? What's the saying?
You said something about smoke.
Is there smoke where there's fire?
Oh
no,
damn,
no,
is that's there, like a, that's like old school shit.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's like I think it's is there fire where there's smoke? That's what it is.
Okay,
because smoke being like you know there's whirlwinds of him being. Doing all the shady shit with kids, even Bieber, right? There's videos of him like being all weird. And
yeah.
I think he had like a weird sex thing like Epstein, but not on an island. Sounds like just at fucking house parties.
Yeah, just did it. He just did it like on regular land.
Wow.
Like
ballsy.
No peninsula, no boats, no docks. He's just like, yeah, I'm just going to have sex with people here.
What a man.
And get away with it.
You get that rich. That is one of the, deterring factors of getting that loaded where you're just like you've done it all and now you're just like all right have I done all the types of people, you know what I'm saying? You're like I've traveled everywhere.
Mermaids,
dude, that's next. If he actually had stuck to mermaids and not kids, we wouldn't be talking about him right now.
Yeah, honestly,
I mean, you know, thankfully, I mean, the closest that we probably know to that seeing and being close to it is our boy Matty Rife, and thankfully good head on his shoulders, focused on the game. You know, we talk about vices. It's like a little pot here and there. But like, yeah, man, it's like, and Diddy probably, it also seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you know Matt longer than me.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as someone that is like the fame stuff is just par for the course and the notoriety because of having your stuff be as enjoyed by so many, right? So it's just like, oh yeah, everyone knows who I am and I'm doing all this, blah, 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 because of, people because a lot of people like my shit, but I'm not, I didn't do it for this. And I think like guys like Diddy, I think leaned into all the glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
So that's how you get into trouble, I think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Man, makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the alien spacesuit. You know what I mean? It's like fame is a suit and people just wear it and then they just want to be in it forever.
Yeah.
They don't want to take it off.
Yeah.
They want to create it. And Matt is like, I'll wear it, but I actually enjoy taking it off.
Yes.
And just smoking weed with my buddies,
yes.
hanging out,
yes.
making jokes.
Yeah.
Laughing, that's important.
Yeah.
And then, you know, also just in Hollywood, and like you could tell, bro, you see people where they're just like, oh, this is not even a human. This is someone in a full suit.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Just energy and vibe. And there's also some people that, you know, and I think a lot of it is just in entertainment, they have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, at least maybe they think they have to. But Matt is, he's Matt.
Totally.
He's a dude.
Through and through.
Yeah,
it is wild. I was watching some clip popped up, some old Laugh Factory clip of him. And I was like, oh, that's so wild. I like the way, I mean, yeah, more confidence seasoned in life and on stage because that's just a part of the process. Yeah. But like.
Was the video pre-teeth?
Or was yeah.
It, okay, pre-teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, you're still probably getting laid then too, even with that mouth.
Yeah, man.
But you know what? You still got some fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be right back. No.
You have a great
house. By the way, nothing creepier has been said into this microphone than me being like, that mouth needed some work, but at least he still had fingers. Wow, welcome back to that guy's not a dad, right? oh my God. You met Matt when? Because you guys, and we'll get to your special in a sec here, Paul. Your low-key show, which is a part of the, actually this will be out on Monday. So this is Monday right now. Hello. And so Low Key is part of the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Fest is Tuesday, May 7th. Yes.
Tuesday, May 7th.
Yes. And that's actually when this comes out. Come to the show tonight. It might be sold out.
And you're on that.
I'm on the show.
Yeah.
At the Troubadour.
Troubadour.
Can't fucking wait. So you and Matt, give me the origins of your friendship and then how you guys started Low Key Comedy, which I remember doing during COVID in the back of a truck, which was so fun. And then it blossomed into a, you guys, consistency is king, and you guys kept it going and then moved it indoors when the pandemic concluded. And now you're doing it as a part of the show. Tell people what the show is and then take it back to you and Matt meeting.
Man, Low Key was originally started at the Comedy Store.
Oh, gotcha.
So we did it as this dual hosted show where we're like, you know, we're friends with a bunch of comics like, you know, like you, Neil, Eliza, Nikki Glazer, and we're like, bro, we're friends with all these dope comics and they like us. We should just do a show and see if they would do it. Like,
and the premise being?
It's a-
You guys host it together.
Yeah, dual hosted comedy show, and then each comic, after their set, they'll riff with Matt and I for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And originally it was called Low-Key Upset. And the prompt is we'd ask them what they're low-key upset about, just to give a prompt to create whatever.
Yeah, great.
So we started doing it, and then we just started- And also, Matt and I, we made a lot of irresponsible purchases during that time. Mm. We're like, Matt got on TRL as a host, and when he left that job, he bought a Jeep. He bought a Jeep Wrangler, and his payments were like close to, with gas and insurance, around $1,200 a month.
Yeah, dude.
I made the same mistake, and I also bought a Jeep. So we were like, dude, we have these $1,200 car payments, and we're doing shows at the HaHa.
And you're paying... To get on stage. No. I mean, well, Jack, I remember when Jack, shout out to Jack Senior, Asadorian, who I remember he was like, Bati, you want, I got the DVD. You want the DVD of your show? I was like, fuck yeah, dude, thank you. I taped it for you. Yes, you watched my $45. And I was like, oh, Jack, I don't know, I have that kind of money, man. I actually was going to take the 20 you guys give me for this. Oh, we're not paying you tonight. Oh, so you actually need to pay to go on stage and then for the deal. So I'm out $80 or whatever.
Yeah. Pixelated, but, like security camera footage.
Yeah. But you know what? At that point when it was pre-clips and everybody really getting into it. So even having that tape, I remember using for, you know, trying to put together an 8-minute something to send some club through, you know, whatever it's MySpace or Facebook to be like, you guys want to, hey, can I come headline? They're like, off this, fucking Walmart security footage where I can't hear anything, but it sounds like you got very racist towards the end.
They're like, sure.
Yeah, did that person walk out? Oh, that was a server. Sure it was. Okay, so started at the store, And then, so you got people to start doing it, and then it's getting some momentum. Yeah, you guys
yeah, we
doing
started
it weekly.
Yeah,
monthly.
We started getting some momentum, and we started to, you know, make some money. And every like we'd sell out, and then we'd text each other emojis of Jeeps.
Oh, right.
To be like, bro, we took care of our Jeep payments.
Oh, wow.
From the show.
Cool.
So then we started doing it twice a month, and then we started selling out those shows. Mm. And then pandemic happened, and then June rolled around. I think pandemic. I think it was like February when everything just like stopped.
Yeah.
So it was like 2 months, 3 months later, I was talking to Matt and I'm like, bro, how is there no shows in the entertainment capital of the world?
Yeah.
How's there nothing?
Yeah, nobody was trying to do, I think they were still trying to figure out what you could do outdoors, but there wasn't even, no one was even trying to start doing it. Right?
Nobody was trying to do anything. And we didn't see anything. And then when the George Floyd murder happened yeah. and then there were these protests in Los Angeles, we were like, oh, so people can gather for a cause and can protest.
Yeah.
And so why can't they gather and come to a comedy
safely,
show?
Yeah, totally.
And then we were just like, bro, there's so many people that are, you know, their sincerity is there, right? And I think a lot of people are just in like pain, bro. So I was like, you know, how cool would it be to create something where people can just be less scared for a couple hours, just hang. And then Matt FaceTimed me when he was throwing out garbage. This was in the back of his apartment building. And he goes, dude, we could do a show here. So he just showed me his back parking lot. And he was like, dude, we should just do one. So I went to his house, I got some chalk, and we basically chalked out the schematics of how we can make this work.
Wow.
That was like our war room.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're gonna do a thing over here, we're gonna do a thing over here, and then me and Matt are like, you know, fucking drawing it out, and then we were like, bro, let's just do it. So we saw Chappelle was doing Yellow Springs shows, yeah. and then Michael Che did a show in New York where he also had a pickup truck.
Right.
And we're like, dude, let's just do our own pickup truck situation. So we put a truck and just did the show, and then we just kept doing it.
Was it always at that spot in Eagle Rock or no?
No, so it was originally Matt's apartment building.
Gotcha.
And I think the first show cost us like $2,000 because we had to like pay off everybody, like the people who had their cars parked in the spaces.
Yeah.
We paid them to use their space.
Yeah.
We realized that we were doing it on, I think it was like July 4th or July 3rd. Mm. And it was like the sun was out. The show was at 5 p.m.
Oh my God.
And I was like, Matt, dude, this is the worst time to do a show.
Yeah.
And I was like, we got to get a huge frame to like block the sun.
Yes.
So we spent $500 on this huge A-frame to block the sun. And then I was like, dude, we don't have a speaker. And he's like, oh, man, I think we'll be fine. People can hear us. I'm like, Matt, let's just make it feel like a show. Let's get speakers. Let's get microphones.
Yeah.
So I got speakers. I got microphones. And then at the end, we were like, dude, we made $1,200 in sales. And then this cost us way more than that.
Yeah.
So we lost money.
Yeah.
And then we just kept losing money until eventually we started like break even.
Wow.
Yeah. And then also it's like paying comics. We're like, bro, we can't just pay a comic $50.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Neil Brennan's coming out. Neil's like, you guys can keep it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't need
yeah, totally.
$100.
Yeah.
And then some comics are like, I need $250 actually.
Wow.
And we're
yeah.
like negotiating with like, their agents.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, bro. We're like negotiating like COVID rates. And they're like, all right, here's the thing. Is there any residuals?
Oh,
I'm like,
my God. We're in the fucking truck. There's a pandemic going on. Like,
yeah.
can we all just acknowledge that we're thankful to even be? Isn't that so wild? Agents will always just be. Oh, man.
And they're like, all right, photo rights. Can we talk about photo rights?
God.
I'm like, photo rights.
Hey, guys, Adam Ray here. Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, we all have things that get us down. We keep them bottled up, usually. Okay, we push down the stressors of life, big or small. That's why therapy is here to help you out. It's a safe space, okay? Whatever's weighing you down and keeping you in the negative department, therapy can help suck you out of it. Sorry to get all sexual on you. BetterHelp is a place I've found that I really benefit from, okay? It's allowed me to be open and honest and really kind of dig deep to the core of what's holding me back, okay? Whether it's trying to cope with people in your life or setting boundaries in certain situations with people in your life, you learn positive ways to empower yourself to get on top of what really is holding you back. We've all had trauma dealing with it, and BetterHelp really wants to get inside of you, ooh, that's what she said, and figure out what's going on so they can get to the bottom of it and get you back on top. It's entirely online, BetterHelp is. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'm on the road all the time. Sometimes I do it there. Sometimes I'm more comfy at home. But they're on board to help you figure it out. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. They match you with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. That's been huge for me. Sometimes I'm just not jamming with somebody. I feel more comfy opening up to somebody versus somebody else. And they're here for you, and it really helps. Visit BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight today and get 10% off your first month. If you're thinking about it, just do it. It helps. BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight for 10% off your first month. Okay? Don't take my word for it. Actually, you know what? Take my fucking word for it. BetterHelp. Back to the episode. Remember, there was a show I never did, but I know there were a lot of people were doing it. It was on the beach at one point. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah. The Ocean Mike show, yeah. I think, or some shit. Yeah, yeah.
I could never do it when they asked me because I started, a few clubs started to open up. So I, even though, you know, crap money and whatever and condensed crowds, but I was like, I don't fucking care. I'm going to roll the dice and go. And it seems like there are places too where, Minnesota, they were still COVID cautious, but then like AZ, you're walking around and you see a guy in a grocery store, you know, with a shirt that says, you know, fuck your feelings. And you're like, dude, you're already not wearing a mask. The shirt's a little redundant, you know, message received.
Right.
And so, and AZ didn't care. I remember they were like, yeah, we're going to do it at like 25%. I get there, the show's packed. And I was right. Like, and I go to the owner, I go, a little more than 25. He's like, yeah, a few more people want to come out. I go, all of them did. Which, hey, great, better for the show, but that beach one just felt like, I think I saw one clip from it, and the wind, I was like, dude, I mean, there is a point to where you want things to still be conducive for a show.
Yeah.
Like, I was thirsty to perform, but, and that's why your guys' was so fun, because it was, you know, you're outdoors, so you still got the elements of, like, sirens and barking dogs, and, but super fun, man.
Yeah.
So you and Maddie met just through comedy, or?
Yeah. So Matt was at the Laugh Factory, and I was just started comedy at that time. Yeah. So I walked in.
This was 2000.
This was probably, bro, I think he was like 16 at the time, because yeah. You have to be 18.
Yeah.
To be allowed into the Laugh Factory. And I think it was like Chocolate Sundays. So it was like packed. And then I see Matt on stage. He has on like a bandana.
Yeah.
And he's doing.
Shut the fuck up.
Bro, this guy, full bandana.
Was he going in full costume to like appease the crowd or what?
I don't know. I mean, he was always wearing bandanas at the time.
Cool.
Yeah. You don't remember bandana?
Matt Rife? Matt? No.
Man, he used to wear bandanas.
Bandana Matt is a great, I mean, fuck, if you're going to talk about a hotel alias name.
Bandana
if Tommy is, or Abdul, Mahmoud Abdul Rauf, or whoever the fuck you said. Who is it? Abdul who?
I think that was right.
Yeah. Do you know who that is? It's a basketball player.
Oh, Abdul Rahim?
Mahmoud sure. Abdul Rauf is a point guard for the Denver Nuggets.
Right now?
From like 92 to like 2005.
Sean Kemp era.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Okay, there you go. Now you're connecting. All right, so met him at the factory, 16, bandana.
Bandana.
Black people
down.
Were loving him, yeah?
Oh, my God. He was fucking murdering.
Wow.
Murdering.
Do you remember with what material?
He was doing some joke about Boys in the Hood. And then he did some act out of like getting shot. And then he started like hitting the mic on his chest. And it was just like, the crowd was silent when he would like do like a setup. He goes, yeah, then like this happened. And then out of nowhere. And then it's like, bah.
Wow.
And then he goes, yeah, man. And I told this girl. And I said, yeah, right. Bah. And I'm just like, man, this guy's fucking murdering.
Yeah.
And then he gets off stage. And then six security guards escort him out. Three in front of him and three behind him. And I'm like, bro, this is like a famous kid. This is probably like just, I don't know who he is. I was like,
YouTuber, yeah.
Yeah, movie star. So then he's outside. And then I walked outside because like they were like approaching us. And I was like, oh shit, I can't get out of the way. These security guards are too big.
Mm-hmm.
So I went outside and then Matt was outside. And then I was like, dude, that was fucking great. And then we just started to talk. And he's like, oh yeah, I had to leave because I can't be here because you have to be over 18 to stay here. But they let me perform and leave. And then I was just like fascinated by it. And he was just like mad cool. And then we just became friends.
Wow.
And then every time I saw him, it was always like, you're my boy.
Yeah.
Even when I barely spoke to him, he was like, you're my boy. And we just like riff.
Yeah.
And just crack each other up. And then we'd part ways. Then we'd see each other riff for longer, crack each other up. And then eventually, he was just like, you know, I'm doing a show. You should do it with me. And I think at the time, I don't think he had any like big credits. I think. This is before he got Wildin' Out.
Yeah,
pre-Wildin' Out. And then he did some weekend somewhere and we just became friends and wilding out. And then
that's how you really get to know somebody, is outside of the club. I mean, to hang really on the road, you know, I think. But yeah, hang outside the comedy club, because you can really get to know somebody at the club, but there's still a level of like, I don't know, you're still at work and there's still people who are still trying to, you know, some people I think are, you know, still have a little bit of a facade up, you know, and you can't, they're their outside club persona, and mm-hmm. then they're their, who they really are outside of that. But wow, I never knew that he had people escorting him in and out. I just figured it was like Jamie being like, buddy, we have the back door, you can jump from the roof. Jamie Masada, the owner of their Laugh Factory. Well, wow, that's crazy. And probably the only club that, I don't know if he was trying to get into the other ones and do that, but that was, I mean, the only one that gave him, I guess, love or an opportunity to do that, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that became like a theme. Like, you know, we would do comedy, and he's like, man, I wish these other clubs would, like, give me more time. And, you know, and I'm just like, we both looked at each other as guys that were slept on.
Yeah.
So we, like, bonded over.
Great, you got to have
being
that.
Looked over.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you started where?
I started in L.A.
Bro. In L.A., yeah, me too. What? How do you view the grind then and now? So, because you're how many years in now?
I started in 2011.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 13 years, yeah.
Isn't that wild that it, like, feels, I'm about 17 in, and it's, I feel like that's, sounds like a lot, but then I'm also like, you know, then you look at people like a Burr or Chappelle or Dane that are 30, 40 years in, you're like, whoa, man.
Yeah.
17, 13, like, just kind of getting going.
Yeah.
More or less. I mean, you know, Detroit Player, your special, available on YouTube everywhere. Go get it. Streaming now. Put up a link right here. You're not live switching in between, are you, Thomas? But, yeah, I'll get them all separately and then, yeah, great. All right, so it'll be on me right now. Boom. Actually, no, put it on Paul and put up the fucking thing right there. Yeah, there you go. There's your Paul cam. Yeah, it's to grind out that many years, sets, days. I guess also it's so natural for all of us to only be thinking, you know, what's next and full steam ahead. Like, I'm sure even post-special, you enjoy it for a bit, but then, like, how quickly were you kind of like, I don't know, a couple weeks, couple days, like, to where you're like, all right, fucking, and then it's just like, that's why the business is so great, flimsy, uncertain, the highs and lows, where you're like, you have to decide and how much you're going to let yourself enjoy something before you're just like, on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're all in it so much anyway that you know, you're already jamming on what you're going to do next and whatever, but that's one thing I always try to remind myself of, is like, dude, like, fucking look in the rearview mirror from time to time, you know? Because it's like, I'm sure you can tap back into starting out and be like, fuck, thank God I'm like, you know, you're still, you know, get stage time is still precious, but like those true days where you can't even walk into a club because you're like, or you can, but you're like, man, I don't feel comfortable here.
Wow.
Right? Like, that's what's cool about now, is to, at least for me, to be able to, like, every place is a home, knowing the staff and the managers and whatever, and when I have buddies that are in town, being able to be like, oh, I'm going to show them off, and then also forget, like, I just had a buddy come through, and it was like, went to all the clubs, and every place we went, I was chumming it up with everybody, and they made me feel like a fucking superstar, but it was just really, it was just normal treatment, because I've been coming through so many times.
Yeah.
And also nice, it goes a long way to get to know the people that work there and, like, be cordial and nice and don't just walk through, so that they are like, you know, oh, hey, I gotta go do this, can you take him into the OR so we can get situated, and then I'm gonna go here, and having that sort of support is big time. But take me through the grind in LA and speak to what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unforgiving, you know? And I think you were one of, like, the first comics I, like, really... I don't know if you remember, bro.
The Laugh Factory. Yeah. Oh, the Ha Ha. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
remember the God. Old Ha Ha? Yeah. That was then that. Shaky Town?
Yes.
The fuck?
Wow, if you remember Shaky Town, drink five.
What a Arab name, by the way, for a venue.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just like Shaky Town. It's like, oh, yeah. Shaky Town?
Is the Who shimmy the is like the go-to Arab dance move?
It's a lot of titty.
Yeah.
Like, the Arab dance moves are, like, very... Like the men honestly just dance like this. They just clap and just do this.
Bro,
and
then am I Arab?
Just do this. Yeah. R-A-E.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Accented.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, so you are what?
I am Assyrian.
Yes.
Assyrian Iraqi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a good combo?
I'd say
a rare combo.
Rare, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of Assyrians in general. Like, I think there's under 3 million.
Yeah.
And my parents are from Iraq.
Wow.
Yeah. Which also, I had like this massive identity crisis, bro, which I'm starting to like really try to understand and wrap my head around. Because for a long time, I would identify as Chaldean, which is my religious sect.
Right.
Because I'm Chaldean Assyrian. Right. I didn't know that Assyrian was even an ethnicity. I had no idea.
Wow.
And then I started doing shows, and then these Assyrian organizations were calling me, and I'm like, oh, who are these Assyrian people saying, come do a show? So then I would do shows with them, and then I would talk to them. They'd be like, you know, you're Assyrian. And I'm just like, what? They're like, yeah, Chaldeans actually are from the Assyrian Empire. Actually, in the 1500s, the church split up. And then when the church split up, there was a group of people that called themselves Chaldeans. And then over years, they separated themselves from the Assyrian people. That's why there's some Chaldeans that say, I am just Chaldean, and they don't identify with Assyrians. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow, dude.
It's like SAG-AFTRA.
And they're like, and it's Elia, not Elia. You know,
yeah,
Jesus
bro.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Player.
Yeah.
A lot, man.
Wow, dude. So how quickly would you use that to kind of serve your material on stage?
None.
Yeah.
None, bro.
Your early days were what? Talking about?
Fucking.
Fucking, yeah. I mean, hey, man, it was a part of the grind.
Crowd work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, the thing is, I also couldn't, like, what got me into comedy was I wanted to keep doing acting. I couldn't afford improv classes. And then I went to an open mic and I saw someone doing crowd work. I'm like, oh my God, that's free improv.
Oh, wow.
I can just go on stage, riff,
cool,
and just create scenes. Yeah. And then I would basically get enough information from the crowd to where I can just reenact a scene. So I would do shows and I'm like, all right, let me just get like a few prompts and then just do a scene. And then the worst is like, I would just gather stuff and I'd do a scene and no one's on board. And then it's
can
like,
I get a location.
They're like, outside.
Yeah, outside. Now. This is terrible. You're like, cool, cool. Another suggestion.
Stop. Okay, it's stopping. So outside, stop.
Stop and a stop sign. No, I'm going to kill you. Cool. Prison. We've got our first line. We'll open with, I'm going to kill you, and I'll be playing all the parts. Wait. Early Haha days before Shaky Town. So we met there. I remember seeing you there through, I mean, yeah, and you... Was it on like on Eric Allegria shows or whose shows would we be? Would we? We were on shows together,
Eric
right?
Eric Allegria, yeah. I never understood what he was saying.
No, Allegria was there. The Greg Wilson, Adam Hunter,
Augustino,
Jack Jr., Amir,
Dustin,
Nick. Ibarra, Nick.
Long-haired.
Am I forgetting his last name? Nick Guerra.
Guerra, yeah. Was he the G name?
Yes. Yes, Nick G, yeah. And then Hilarious, a beast. And then, Jeff Garcia was like a god there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on a lucky night, you get to see Chris Tucker.
Rich Aronovich.
That
guy.
Oh, bro, a beast, dude.
You and Rich, bro, were so nice, man. You know, because...
Oh, yeah, I was nice to you, yeah? I feel like...
Oh, big time, yeah, okay. Bro. I mean, you were nice to everybody. Like, you just, like, you're just happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, there's no, like, ego. There's no, like... Fuck this kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're just like friendly and cordial. Right. So it's like, you know, you weren't just like being like cold. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I wasn't like asking you for anything. Like, hey, man, can we like go on the road? Yeah.
Like, well, I was helping.
Can I have some money? Give me money.
Wait, so I guess if you started 20, what? give me money.
Straight up.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what year did you say you started again?
2011.
Okay, yeah. So I was only 4 years in. Yeah. But still, I mean, there is, and for me though, yeah, it's like, I mean, that's, not a huge gap, but like enough to go like, you know, that's 40 more years of being comfortable on stage versus not, right?
Yeah, man. You were like such a beast, bro. Like I would see you like
early
packed. Yeah, I'd watch and then I'm just like,
wow,
bro, this guy is a fucking pro.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was a great room too.
It was a great room, bro. Yeah. It was a great room, man. And I was doing all the Bringer shows.
Yeah, me too.
I was going
and if you got on a Ha Ha Weekend show, that's what happened. Eric Schwartz introduced me to Eric Allegria to get on his Tuesday shows. And then Terry and Jack put me on a weekend show. And then it was like, oh, man. I mean, it was just like electric, dude. Packed. Yeah. And it was like to get 5, 7, 10 minutes and then to be going on in good spots. And like people were just pumped to be there.
Yeah.
That's so funny, dude. There really should be a documentary about I don't what the fuck is that? It's either skin or my own lip.
Wait, is your lip on your lip?
Did I just bite my own lip? I don't know what that was.
But so you're funny. Just like bleeding. I'm like, so tell me about Shaky Town. I'm like, Adam is bleeding.
Okay, so guys, can I get a suggestion from the audience? Yeah.
Blood.
I mean, what would it
hospital.
Stop you?
Hospital?
Bro, I was one time so funny. I was one time so, one of the first few times I got really high and performed was at the old HaHa pre-Shaky Town. And it was a 4th of July, and I was like, I got a show, but I'd gotten real baked with some buddies. Went to one of their friends' like mansions up in the hills. First few times I've been in a mansion.
Hell yeah.
So I just got caught up, and I was like, I'm going to not go to the show. And then like the night kind of transitioned to a point to where I was like, I really want to do it still, but I was like, I think I'm too high. But I was like, let's go fucking figure it. Let's find out. And I remember whoever's show it was like, dude, there's only like 20 people here. So like, perfect. So like, not a lot of pressure. And I went down there, and I remember just like talking through stuff and had a lot of energy up top. And then, you know, in the times I've been high since on stage, I've trusted myself. And because that's all it is, just not second guessing. As soon as I would say something to somebody and they'd say something back, and I would like be like, oh fuck, they know you're high. And then I was like, I'm gone. I remember I said something and some guy just goes, are you fucking stoned? And I go, yeah, man, I'm stoned. Yeah.
Like you weren't?
Yeah. And then
you sound like a rich kid wasn't?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I'm high. And then I remember I paused for a minute and I go, yeah, no, I'm pretty big. And then that got like a good laugh. And then I think I got off shortly after that. I think I was doing something. And then I started not doing well to where I started making fun of how poorly I was doing. And then went into a character of like, what if I was this like stoner guy that was like a popular comic who came up here being like, man, you guys been to the grocery store and you ever get like bread and eggs and you're like, I'm gonna make some fucking food when I get home, and you fucking forget it in the car and then your car gets towed so you don't get breakfast, man. Who else has had that? You know? And so I just did all these like dumb, and only a few people were on board with it, but it was, at that point it was like, just throw darts, man.
Yeah,
but that's,
yeah.
I mean, and you can attest to this, man. Like now, when you put your special together, Detroit Player, now streaming on YouTube, you shot it in your hometown.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were from Detroit.
Yeah, from Detroit.
What part?
Southfield, Michigan.
Where's that?
Southfield is like 7 minutes. It's the suburbs of Detroit.
Gotcha.
It's 7 minutes away from the city.
I was just in Royal Oak at the Comedy
Royal
Castle.
Oak.
How far is it from there?
I was probably 15 minutes away from Royal Oak.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Did you perform there?
I did perform there. Yeah. I have performed there. I haven't gotten a weekend there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like,
hometown,
you know,
clubs are always the slowest to get you going. Yeah, it'll happen. They'll hear about you at the Hollywood Bowl, and they'll go, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the guy with, is that the guy that knows Fast Fingers Rife? It's
yeah,
a callback
yeah.
to earlier.
We'll be right back.
Wait, how comedy finds you where in Detroit? From just movies and TV, like, I mean, family members were funny. Like, how do you even start getting the funny bug growing up?
Honestly, bro, it was just telling the truth. And, like, I would, like, say things, like, especially when I was, like, in pain or I felt like I was wronged, I would, like, tell people, and then everyone would just start laughing.
Whoa.
And, like, the way you say it is just so funny.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, so there's something funny about me that it's effortless.
Yeah.
And then,
because you were just doing you. You just like couldn't, you didn't have an off switch as far as being honest.
Yeah. Like, bro, I didn't. And
like,
also,
give me an example, like self-deprecating or what?
Like, all right. So I used to think I was black when I was younger.
Wow.
I used to wear do-rags.
How black? Okay. There it is.
I would go.
I would say Brian Gumbel black or 50 Cent black?
I'm Method Man.
Wow.
Method Man black.
Wow.
So I would basically, my mom would be like, don't wear do-rags anymore. She was against the do-rag. And then I would leave the house and I would see she's not looking. And then I would put a do-rag on.
You were a different person. You were, wow.
Yeah, grown up fake black.
Bro, is it too late to change the title of your special? Fake black? I mean, oh my God.
Yeah,
might
man.
Get flagged on YouTube, but... That's such
Rachel
a catchy.
Rachel Dolezal
yeah,
story.
Yeah. Wait a second. So because what? You just love the culture? You had black friends? You just wanted to fit in? Like,
yeah, I just want to fit in. Like, I basically grew up in an all-black neighborhood, and I was like, I'm just going to act like everyone else around me. So I was always like a sponge in that sense. And in some ways now as well. You know, like if I'm around something, like even if I'm working on a TV show and if I'm around it every day, I just get better at acting like immediately.
Yeah.
Like if I'm doing stand-up, I'm doing a bunch of shows, my shit just gets tighter.
Totally.
Naturally, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, always looked at it as weird. They're like, yo, why is this, why is he wearing a durag? And then I would like say things like, hey guys, you know, when you guys say take the durag off, it hurts me. And they'd be like, ah! And everyone just starts laughing. Like, what a hilarious sentence.
Oh my God.
And I had no reason why, just saying, when you tell me to take this durag off, it hurts me.
Wow. So they laugh. So wait, did you take that personally? Were you like, I'm just fucking being serious?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd be like, I'm just being serious. But then they would laugh and I'd be like, oh, this is good.
So, okay. Eventually you go, all right, I'm going to lean into this because I know that they're not laughing at me like they feel, but like, you're able to spin it into a confident thing to like fire back, right?
Yeah. And also I was getting like beat up a lot, and I was getting into a lot of fights. Man, various people, bro. Various
people. For what reason?
Sometimes just like take that durag off. People would be like, you know, also I had glasses, so people would like make fun of me. They're like, man, it's your fucking glasses. And they would like I looked like I wanted people to pick on me.
Yeah.
You know, and they would just do it. And then once I developed that reputation of like one person picking on me, then everybody's like, oh, so he's the person we could pick on.
Wow. You know what I'm teachers?
Saying? No.
They didn't bully you, right?
Honestly, bro, I did have some teachers like clown me in front of everyone and it would really hurt me.
Wow.
And then like in class, they'd be like there was like, I made some joke with some kid and like I would say something like, man, I think you're handsome. And he told the teacher and he goes, so, you know, when you tell someone they're handsome, that means you're gay. And then everyone in class is like, oh, Paul gay. Paul's gay.
Holy shit.
And then I'm just like, oh, no, that's the, you know. And then that was obviously seen very negative, you know.
That's so fucked. As a like, that's, to me, the cardinal sin, like, to put a kid down in like, publicly. Like, even if the kid says something stupid or is being an asshole, like, dude, that's, I mean, that's how you create a school shooter or a fucking rape. I mean, that's the worst, dude.
Yeah, man. And they would, like, I was into basketball and I would like tell people I'm gonna be.
Of course, you love balls, gay Paul.
Yeah,
oh, dude, gay Paul, so not creative. Just saying who I am and what I'm into.
But thing is, it would kill, and then no matter what I say back, I can have the most fire, clever line. They're like, no, that sucks. So then there was basically this agenda where everyone was like, whatever Paul says is not funny.
Oh man.
And everyone who clowns him, that's hilarious.
Oh man. So it was a punching bag.
I was a punching bag. So eventually, how I got out of punching bag mode was I would do impressions of my bullies, and it was undeniably hilarious. Because, like, I would just embody them, and I would just act like them and do all their isms, and, like, they would feel it. And then people are just like, bro, that's a pretty good impression of him.
Wow. And so then they wanted you to do it.
And then I would do impressions of everybody. People would knock on my door, and my mom would be like, Paul, there's someone at the door, and there's, like, five kids. They're like, hey, man, do your impression of James. And James like, it ain't even that good, man. And then I'm like, why don't you think it's good? Then people are like, oh!
Wow. Yeah, and so you just kind of pull the rug out from under, but get the power back.
Yeah, get the power back.
You and know? Get respect, really. Dude, that's why comedy, it just, like, whether it's offensive, it's always subjective, right? But, like, it really does cure, right, your soul for all that bullshit you're going through. But also, like, funny always wins. So it's like they couldn't, at some point, deny that what you were doing. And then it was like, all right, fuck, maybe. And that's your way in, right?
Yeah, that was my way in. And then, you know, I was like, you know what? I should end this durag era because I'm like, this isn't me.
Was that a sad day?
It was.
What
I
did
mean,
you play? Two when Paul's I, changes when I, as he took it off and put in the
Raptors. It's like my retired durag jersey.
Paul, come down for dinner. Hey, 1 second, Mom. I see no changes.
I sing it.
That's all I know. Yeah. Wow, dude. End of an era.
End of an era, man.
And then what? You just leaned in hard to being the funny guy, yeah?
Yeah, man. And then it was just so easy to me. And then, like, my mom was working at a liquor store at the time, which my mom owned, our family-owned business was a beer and wine store, which was in the east side of Detroit. Mm. For 20 years, my mom ran the store. So my mom basically would work, open and close from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Then my mom would come home, and I would see that she's, like, tired, she's exhausted,
yeah,
she's sad.
Day, dude.
Yeah, so if for me, I was like, maybe I can make her smile if I do impressions of some of the customers. So my mom would come home. I'd be like, Mom, who's this? And I'd do an impression of a customer. And she goes, oh, that's this person. And she would love it.
Wow,
so
dude.
So every night, I'm like, bro, I got a show. And I'm just going to do
You're
impressions
such a good
for my
son.
Mom.
You said she'd come home sad sometimes, too? Just from what?
Just bro. Because, I mean, my dad got sick. And my dad was just, in general, just having a lot of like mental health issues just from childhood trauma.
Is he still around?
He's still around,
yeah,
man.
They
Thank
both?
God, bro. Yeah, man. Both of
wow.
them, bro.
Awesome. He got sick from what?
He had a stroke in 2000. So he had a stroke and he was unable to work for a period of time. Yeah. So he was just chilling at home. And
so your mom took a brunt of the employment requirements.
All.
Wow.
All. My dad's just chilling at home. My dad couldn't work. You know what I mean? My dad's like, you know, he had to wear a catheter. Guy couldn't even really use the bathroom properly.
Fuck.
So he was going through it. And I would go to school and then I'd come home. And then my mom is still at work. And then my mom will come home at night. And then I'm like, oh, I get a little bit of FaceTime with my mom.
Yeah.
And she has maybe an hour of energy. And then she has to go back to sleep to wake up for work the next day.
Wow.
7 days a week, bro.
Wow, dude.
No days off.
So, yeah, you're a hero then. I mean, just fucking. So you would.
Least I can do, bro. She's the hero. Man. You know what I mean? She's a hero.
Well, I'm saying she's your hero because of that.
Yeah, she's my hero because of that. Yeah, yeah.
Putting food on the table for you like that. So you were like, okay, I'm going to. So you just, you felt compelled to like want to just make life a little easier and just, and you already funny at, see, that was always my problem, was being funny at school with friends, and I never felt comfy to like do it around my sister and mom until like later, way later in life. So that's awesome that you like had that in you to just be like, oh, it's not a weird thing, I'm just gonna make my mom laugh. And you knew what buttons to push, and so you do these character act outs and she would just lose it.
Oh man, it would kill, bro. And thing is, like, my mom is like a Def Jam comedy member, audience member.
Oh, so you put the do-rag back on.
Oh, I'll put the do-rag back on. Hump a stool. And she's like, no, he didn't.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, but my mom didn't like comedy as like I would do it. And then if I would overdo it, she goes, yo, stop. Like, she'd give me the light. You know, if I were to keep doing it, she goes, stop. So, like, we go to weddings. And then we're at a wedding and I'm like, oh my God, let me be funny in front of, there's more people here. Let me be funny in front of them.
Yeah.
So my mom would be like, listen, do not be funny. If you try to be funny, if you try to be weird, cause like I would also be like on some Jim Carrey type humor. I'm like, how funny would it be if I just take this water and pour it on my head right now?
Wow.
So it was whack. Then I started to get like wacky with it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, dude, the impressions are great, but water?
Dude, everyone's dry right now. Imagine all of a sudden they look over, that guy's wet?
Why is he wet?
Why is he wet? And then, dude, and then they lift me up on a chair. Everyone starts sucking my dick. Mom, I mean, this is going to be the greatest night ever. Wow, that's so funny. So that's why. So it was a no-brainer to do the special in Detroit.
Yeah, man, I wanted to do it in Detroit. And I didn't really develop in Detroit. And
yeah, you developed in L.A., right?
Yeah, I developed in L.A. Yeah. And honestly, like Detroit, and Chappelle says this a lot, bro, and like I think a lot of comics do too, but Detroit, the audiences are challenging.
Yeah.
Like they're not like the easiest crowds.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, there's a lot I want to say, and I was going to do it in L.A. I was going to do it at the Ice House originally. Mm. When the Ice House opened up, I'm like, yo, let me get back in there. I love that room. Mm. And then I was like, I don't want to be in just like some kill box. I just want to be in some spot where it's like honest. A place where I can just be real.
Yeah.
And then also I'm just like online. Do people even give a fuck?
Yeah.
If it's a 50 seater and it looks nice.
Yeah.
And there's shots of like 20 people. People are like, oh, great.
Yeah.
I buy that.
Yeah.
That's the world that we're in.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, man, I think there's a lot of nostalgia. So I went with all nostalgia shit.
Yeah.
Which I realize now I could have made a different creative choice in some ways. Like I started the special off with like my brothers dropping me off,
yeah.
Then the music kicks in,
yeah, yeah.
And I come in. People are just like, "Oh man, this is too long, bro."
Yeah, I know that's always a tricky thing of like how much. Trevor Wallace had a whole opening sketch thing that was really fun, but that's what he does, right? So you're like, of course you're going to be doing characters in the video, but yeah, I always go back and forth on that, on how much of a thing to have before.
Yeah,
but some people are just. Like, just get into it.
Just
right?
Start.
Yeah, I know.
Just start. Yeah. Opening line, do it. Do a hilarious cold open.
Yeah.
And then if you want to just do that joke, maybe it doesn't have to connect with anything.
Yeah.
And then do like a fade to black. Introducing Adam Ray.
Yeah.
And even then it's like, bro, just people don't have patience.
Right.
And it obviously does hurt creativity. And I think some movie directors are doubling down. That's why movies are like long as fuck. Like, I haven't finished Oppenheimer yet. And I've tried 3 times. It's so long, man.
Wow.
It is long. And also it's like my attention is fucked. Like I see myself, if there's a commercial, I'm like, let me get on my phone and promote a show.
Yeah.
It's not like, let me just scroll and fucking put myself in the Matrix.
Right.
It's like a work related thing.
Right.
And then it's just like, dude, how do you turn that off?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. The balance is, I don't think anyone's ever fully figured it out. You know what I'm saying? Of like how much prep did you do before the special?
A lot, man. Yeah. I ran it a ton. I shot it probably 7 times.
Oh, wow.
With 3 cameras. And then I edited it myself, and I just looked at it as a story. And I was like, where are the holes in the story? Mm. And then I broke it down into acts, like an act structure.
Right.
And I'm like, where are the callbacks here? What am I saying here? So I basically try to like fill in the gaps of weaknesses. And then there are some transitions where I'm like, this is so forced. It's like, speaking of walls, my family.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, speaking of walls, my family.
Yeah.
And I think one guy in the back's like, what?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I got to clean this up.
Yeah. You know? It is, you edit it yourself. I didn't know that.
No, so the pre-tapes, I edited all those. Great, and then the actual special, which I ended up kind of like low-key editing myself because like the editor did like a pass.
Yeah.
And then I went through and I'm like, cut to this angle, cut to this angle. Yeah, and I'm like, I could adjust.
Yeah, I know.
Which I know how to do now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
There is so much, it comes together so much in post, obviously. And I mean, how many shows did you do?
I did 3.
Yeah.
I did 3. Also, it was during a weird time, bro, because it was October 13th. So this was a week after October 7th attack.
Wow.
So there was a lot of Arabs in Detroit.
Oh, shit.
And a lot of Arabs in Detroit were, like, in a lot of pain. There was a lot of, like, Jewish people were in a lot of pain. And, you know, Detroit has, like, a lot of Muslim, Jews, Christians, Abrahamic faiths.
Wow.
Popping in Detroit.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are like, dude, I can't leave the house. So I'm doing the first show. It's like, all the shows are sold out. And it's like 80 people didn't show up to that first show.
Fuck, man.
And then I'm in the back, and then I was upset about it. And I was like, man, there's 80 people that didn't show up. This shit's going to look empty. The laughs aren't going to be as hard. Then I'm like, man, this is what God wrote for me. Mm. I'm just, the people who are here, they want a hug.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to give them.
Cool. You felt that?
Bro, that energy also just kicked in. Even today, like, I'm just like, it was a breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
Where, like, so important. I've been working so hard.
Yeah.
All the sets, all the open mics. All the shows, all the being shit on, all the losing money, all those outdoor shows, so I can shoot this special.
Yeah.
And I made it so precious. So when that happened, I felt like, I was like, man, this is not fair.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, bro, fuck fair shit. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
This is your reality.
That's a healthy mindset. It takes a beat to get there, too, of just like, you know, being glass half full and not complaining about what you don't got, but like, what do I got? What can I control right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it looked great. You fucking crushed it.
Thank you, man.
Your shirt was great. The bits were great. What was the opening story was with your brother? What was the opening story? Or
the opening segment?
I watched it when it came out, man. Apologies on my memory. But
yeah, no worries.
No, the opening bit.
Oh, the opening bit, I opened up with a joke about homelessness.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
but your act outs, which I always have loved. And again, it probably goes back to just the scenes you were starting out. But I'm just a big act out guy. And you commit so hard to like being anybody in the story, which just makes any story better.
It just makes it better, man. Yeah. And you know what? Like for a while, there were some comics that I felt like were like, I'll just call them Silver Lake comics. For the term.
Sure.
That are just like so snooty about like physical comedy. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's like cheating, voice manipulation shit. And I used to actually take it to heart and remove some act outs, remove voice manipulation and doing an Arab accent. Or like someone says, oh, you can't do that accent. You're not that race. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I started removing a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
And then I was just like, the reason why they say don't do that is because they can't.
Totally.
They fucking can't.
Totally.
Bro. You can't dunk behind your back.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, but look at this three-pointer I'm shooting. It's so graceful. And I'm like, yeah, bro, I dunk under the legs, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So then I went full, and I'm like, no, bro, I'm not going to let nobody or the comedy courts dictate how I'm going to perform, bro.
Yeah, nobody is entitled to tell anybody what they can and can't do. And also, intent, trust, confidence, you know, intent is a big part of it. Like, I remember being the first time I started having an interaction with – there's a group of like 6 or 7 real sassy black gals at the Haha, and they were kind of, I started chatting with them just about something, and then it led to something, and then one of them was like, it's their birthday, and I was like, oh my God, and then I go, happy birthday to ya, and they all started singing it, and I go, fuck, I go, why is that version so much better than ours? And they go, and then they all started laughing, and I go, we just got happy birthday, and you guys fucking turn into a party, whatever, and then I start doing it, and then we start just going down this rabbit hole of like just other things black culture better than the white that they just made cooler. And it was the first time that I really, I'd always felt a little apprehensive to even do that because I was like, I'm not that guy. I'm not that race. But it's like, I wasn't comfy in my own skin to even do that. So it was like really a breakthrough of just like, of having this instinct. And then I started doing things where I would as I talked to them more, impersonating a couple of the gals who were just so sassy. And I was like, wow, so many times before, if this moment had provided itself to me, I would have been like, oh, you can't do a sassy black woman voice, you know?
Yeah, you can't do black voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake black, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But so it was a really, but again, it was like my intent wasn't to, what I was nervous about was, yeah, people being like, oh, you can't, but it was like, well, it's in context, fine and funny. And I'm also not, you know, it was just in context. And it was, the intent was to be funny.
Yeah.
So I think when that comes across, then I think you're okay. But
yeah, but also like the fine line of like, you know, I'm not doing like terrorist jokes, like hacky shit. Mm. Like if I'm going to use the device, if I'm going to use the physicalness and the voices, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be in service of something hilarious. And I'm right. also aware like, oh, am I doing some hacky trope?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I was
it's like, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was just like, I see motherfuckers doing like the hackiest shit.
Yeah.
And it's
you
like,
imagine there being an Osama bin Laden GPS.
Exactly. Like,
what?
Insert.
turn right. Psych. I don't know. I don't know what it would even be.
Your destination is hell.
Yeah.
And then they're like, thank you guys so much. That's my time. Oh, I got merch.
Yeah, I got merch.
And then you buy and it's like the Waze thing with a turban on it.
All right. Well, I actually would buy that. Yeah. It's a bad example. That is such a funny young comic move. Merch. Or like a DVD, and you're like 2 years in.
Oh, yeah.
I remember actually, I think it was Augustina, who, great dude, funny dude, has put in the time. But I want to say he was doing a DVD recording like 3 years in at the HaHa. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, bro, what the fuck are you putting on tape? You're 3 years in.
Right.
But look, you might have an hour, but man, is it. I remember the first time I headlined in Seattle and did an hour, and I was like, yeah, dude, this thing is polished and ready to go. I was, I think, 5-6 years in. Yeah, maybe 12 minutes of that was like, yeah, dude, that was funny. Family, friends, people laughed and stuff. But, man, it is a true art form where it just takes time. And there might even be things that got laughs. But, like, why did they get laughs? Because it was like a blah, blah, blah. Thanks, Mom. You know, like real hacky shit that, like, people will go, oh, yeah, they can get a laugh. But is it, like, good?
Yeah, like people are living in their own reality.
Yeah.
They'll hear the sound of laughs and that's enough.
Yeah.
And then it's like Ian Edwards would say this. He goes, man, what are you killing with? Are you killing with bullshit?
Yeah.
And then people are just like, oh, I'm fucking murdering.
Yeah.
Like I've seen people go up and it's like they're getting big responses, but I'm just like, bro, you're selling out your own people.
Yeah.
You're doing like this heck, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was also very aware of that. I was like, what is this in service of? That's why when I did my special, I was like, I want to make sure that I'm celebrating my family. Mm. I'm celebrating my mom. Cause like I did some interview years ago and someone was like, oh, I noticed that, you know, you did this thing and you're, you know, when you make fun of your family. And then when she said, make fun of your family, for some reason, I just got like stung and I stopped her. I was like, wait, actually I don't make fun of my family. You know, and he goes, you know, but like you say like jokes and it's like people are laughing at your family. I was like, you're getting them to laugh at them. I was like, I'm not getting them to laugh at them. I'm getting them to think.
Yeah.
So it's like, as long as there's that present and it's not just like, oh, then my dad is like, Paul, God damn shit. God, it's so funny.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great, Dude, when Amir first started doing, you know, so funny.
One time, he didn't even say a word. He was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amir has that great bit about the songs, the Iranian music sounds like sounds like you're on fire or something, right? Or is that,
Track two.
Yeah.
B-side.
Yeah. Well, the special is called Detroit Player.
Yeah.
You call it that because why?
A few reasons.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put Detroit in the name of it.
Yeah.
And player was something that was said to me when I was younger. Like the older dudes, it was sort of like bro and dude.
Yeah.
People would say, what's up, player?
Yeah.
And it was like a thing. And the way that it was framed is like, yo, we're all players in this game.
Whoa.
And you got to decide how you want to play the game. That's how it was framed to me.
Cool.
And I was like, and I choose to play the game as a Detroit player.
Yeah.
And a Detroit player is someone who plays the game with grit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say I lost. I'm going to keep fighting, which is what my mom did.
Wow.
My mom was losing money to her business. She had a bunch of gangs in the neighborhood. She basically was like forced into a lot of compromising positions. She's been robbed before.
I was just going
to
say, 11 p.m. gal at night at the store, right?
Bro, 5'2", Iraqi woman at a store. No bulletproof glass.
Shut the fuck up.
No bulletproof glass, bro.
She robbed at gunpoint?
She was robbed at gunpoint. And I was like, Mom, why don't you get bulletproof glass? She goes, do you know how expensive? And I'm like, Mom, like, and then me and my brothers would like try to save money. We were like painting houses at the time.
Wow.
So we're like trying to save money, like we're going to raise money to get my mom bulletproof glass.
Did you?
No, we couldn't, bro. It's like 15 grand. So things, we had like 2,000.
Oh, yeah.
So we're calling companies. We're like, hey.
You have to paint every house
like,
in Detroit.
So like, you know how like kids would be like, hey, I'm raising money for my basketball team?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get bulletproof glass.
I'm trying to save my mom's life. Yeah. It's a little better than jerseys so for the softball team. Can you buy this Kit Kat? Otherwise, my mom's going to get shot in the face.
She's going to get
a bottle of Pinot Grigio. Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you ever come home and go, Mom? She's like, no, it's too expensive. You're like, all right, well, this character I'm going to do for you tonight is the guy who's going to murder you. So can I get a location? Oh, Mom's store? Great. Yeah.
Fun. Can I get a caliber? Caliber?
What type of gun will they be using?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, dude.
What a gangster. My mom didn't have a gun, bro. My mom had a golf club.
I mean,
Mom had a golf
club. When has that ever beaten pistol?
I'm like, Mom, what? Someone's gonna come, like, do something. You're like, oh shit, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, you just wait.
Yeah. Give me a second. Yeah.
My mom had a golf club, and bro, but thing is, everyone in the neighborhood respected my mom. Like, cool. People come into the store and they call her mom.
Wow. Dude.
Like, there was this dude that would come to the store. His name was Murder. And I knew his whole family.
White guy.
He was not.
Yeah.
He was.
But guess what? Detroit. Could be. I mean, I know some white guys that also were fake black. I mean, everybody does.
Oh, everybody was fake black.
Bro, let me just go through. Name some other ones besides Paul Leah. Like, who else was fake black?
Oh, my whole family. We were all fake. My brothers, we were the original fake black family.
But give me like a white guy that you grew up with that was like fake.
Oh, this dude named Terrence.
Yeah, perfect.
He was fake black.
We had Jesse Davis. We had...
This girl named Jane. This girl named Jane, she was fake black.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, like, a lot of, like, the white girls, they would act... Like, they had braids in their hair. They would say the N-word.
Wow.
They were saying the N-word.
Yeah, we had Cole Carstensen and Jamie Johansson.
Mm-hmm. It's a great fake black name.
Yeah. Oh, not Luke Eaton's. What was his brother's name? Jamie Eaton? No. Dustin... Fuck yeah. Isn't that so funny?
But they were all fake black.
Yeah, and we also didn't probably, I mean, definitely had black kids at our high school. It was, you know, I don't know what percentage. Probably.
It's a minority.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because like there was some girl that used to come to my store. Her name was Crystal. She was white. Her mom is white. And bro, she would talk blacker than the black girls.
Isn't that crazy?
Straight up. Like she was patting her head down. Yep. And like she would like pat her head and like someone would be like, you know, you don't like that does nothing. Like your hair isn't having the texture to where you need to pat it down that way.
What the fuck?
But it just became like, I just want to be black.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I love that backstory behind the title. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Mine's just like and subscribe because my nephew, who's 9 years old, will hit me in the dick and then go like and subscribe and then run out of the room. And so I have a bit about that. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of catchy.
You see, likes, if you look at the epistemology.
Detroit player streaming on YouTube. Go check it out. PaulLeah.com for tour dates.
WatchPaulLeah.com.
Love that. Someone took your name?
Someone took PaulLeah.com, and then I asked him for it. He won't give it to me, and it's just to his LinkedIn profile, and he is an associate business manager.
He's also a dickhead.
Yeah.
Dude, give it up. What do you need a LinkedIn and a website for? Yeah, I'll save it. There's 2 minutes I'm working out at the Comedy Store tonight. What do you need a website and a LinkedIn for? Yeah. Good night, everybody. Jack, how much for the DVD? Still $40. And the Hollywood Bowl on May 8th.
Hollywood Bowl on May
8th. Matty Rife. And May 7th at the Troubadour.
Troubadour, yep.
Low-key comedy. Can't wait for that show.
Can't wait, man. And Matt's okay to being... Yeah, Matt's going to host it. So me and Matt are going to host it.
At the Hollywood Bowl?
No, at the...
No, low-key.
Low-key, yeah.
Oh, great. And line up. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. That's such a cool venue for comedy, too. I don't know if you've been there before.
I have been there before, man. It is, like, cozy. It's, like, small. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like the history in there just... feel it, man.
You do feel it, yeah.
Because I've seen people smash there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be seated, right?
Yeah, seated.
Yeah, cool. Bro, so glad we finally fucking got this.
Thank you, man.
Beast.
Thank you.
All the hard work paid off and is paying off. And good people succeed. You know?
Yeah.
Fake Black better be the next special title.
Yeah, once you go Fake Black.
We'll be right back.
Bro, that's poetry, bro.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.